This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School podcast, episode number 145, The Beauty of Kapha Dosha. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. It is a lovely early spring, late winter day. And I've been watching the snow melting. I was sitting and working in my office today and could hear the rain. And it wasn't even rain. It was the snow melting off the roof. As many of you know, we moved to Jackson, Wyoming last year. And typically, we would still be in full winter season here. But it's been a really mild year, which is not going to pose well in the spring. We're going to have pretty bad drought this year. But it's been a really mild winter without a lot of snow. And so the snow that we do have is melting off because we've hit about the mid-40s. And that has made me think a lot about Kapha Dosha. Because with the oncoming of spring, the way that Kapha Dosha works, it rises and begins to accumulate during the late winter time and early spring. And then when we really start getting into spring, Kapha is fully aggravated. It's at its highest peak during the spring season. And so what we see is that solidity of winter, if you think of snow or ice, that solid nature begins to thaw and it gets kind of gooey and sticky, a little bit like mud. And then when we start to move into Kapha season and things begin to warm up a little bit, we have more of that flowing energy. But if we have too much of that stagnancy from the winter time, then it can keep channels clogged. So we end up with excess ama, things kind of stuck, that heaviness, that lethargy. But there's a lot of beauty about Kapha if we work with it properly. I've talked a lot about my sweet daughter who has a lot of Kapha Dosha in her, and I have been so interested watching her over the last probably 4 or 5 months. She has decided that she wants to move her body. She's 14. She started playing basketball, and then that led to her wanting to have better endurance on the court. So she started doing exercise at home on the days she didn't have practice. And it was so funny to watch her in the beginning. It was really hard for her. She didn't want to do it. She would kind of resist every day, and it was not driven by me. This was completely self-driven by her, which is another Kapha tendency, right? To have this kind of a stubbornness that when they decide they're going to do something, they're in. They're totally in no matter what. So she'd committed this to herself that she would exercise. And over the last 4 or 5 months, she said to me the other day, I just can't believe how much better I feel every time I exercise. And if I'm feeling kind of depressed or I'm having a hard day, if I just go exercise for half an hour, I feel so good afterwards. And she's become kind of the like vanguard for exercise. And she tells all of her cute little friends who are in that hormonal time of life and the up and down of their hormones, if you just exercise, you'll feel really good. And they all think she's nuts. And it's interesting because she is so much like I was at her age. That's about the same age that I decided I really liked moving my body. Whereas before that, I was pretty stagnant. But as we look at Kapha and the way it works with our bodies, that stagnancy is something that's kind of a natural part of it. And everyone has Kapha in them. You could be mostly Vata and Pitta and you still have Kapha Dosha. And so if you work with it, especially right now as we're changing seasons, then that Kapha can work for you. That strength, that resiliency, that ability to endure, it will work for you instead of make you feel heavy and lethargic and stuck. Something else that's really interesting with Kapha is there's a higher level of immunity. Because when a Kapha is in balance and they have that resiliency, they don't get sick as easy, right? They're very good immunity and they have a lot of good health, very strong, robust health. My dad is not the very best example of this, but he's also an example at the same time. He was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes when I was in high school, and it was due to lifestyle choices. He really enjoyed eating and didn't move very much. And so he was diagnosed with this, made a lot of lifestyle shifts, and has worked on that his whole life of staying healthy. And it's a challenge because there's a lot of emotional struggles there with him in eating healthy. But something that is really interesting with him is he is still one of the most sturdy, strong, healthy people in the respect of he can just go. His endurance is incredible, right? His ability to stick to something and to physically withstand difficulties, despite the fact that he's dealt with diabetes for all these many years. I think someone with a constitution that was higher in Vata, most certainly would not have been able to withstand the illness and what it's done to his body over time. But he still has this just ability to go. And what's really fun is this last winter, he grew his beard really long last year, and he has the whitest of white and white hair. And he decided to take advantage of his roundness and to play Santa Claus. So he spent last winter at a really nice, bougie, ritzy shopping center in California, and he played Santa Claus for the season. And we were all so worried about him because we knew his body is not as strong and resilient. And in fact, he ended up enduring it quite well. He worked from pretty much the beginning of November, right around that time, all the way until Christmas without a day off. And he was able to just love up those little kids and be the best Santa Claus possible, despite the fact that he has his own health struggles. And a lot of that is because of that kapha. So we never want to discount it. We always want to be grateful for this part of us, because there is a compassion, a generosity, a stability, right? This is like our Mother Earth characteristics. There's also a lot more patience in kapha, and they tend to forgive quickly. Now, this is when we are in balance. And when we think about like a little tiny seed that's taking root, it's beginning to sprout, it's beginning to grow in the spring, a lot of these qualities come through. I'm always amazed when I plant my garden, and I hope that all of you garden, because it's a really good opportunity to experience the cycle of life, the cycle of the doshas, the cycles in nature. So even if you don't have a big space, just doing like a little planter in your kitchen window is a really great way to learn about life and to teach your family about life. But when you see these little seedlings come up, and they are just tiny, right? You can hardly even tell that they're a plant. And their ability to be strong and resilient and patient as they grow, kapha is all about growth. It's like the beginning of that life cycle. So as we start to move into spring, we're kind of in that beginning life cycle, right? That springtime. And it's a really beautiful time where the gifts of kapha are available to everyone, right? All the positive things that we've been talking about. But when we don't pay attention to it, we let the kapha grow into excess, especially when it's cool and damp during the spring. These are both qualities that increase that bogginess. If you think of like humidity, like a cold fog humidity, that's a picture of kapha, right? When we don't take care of it. So when we feel this way, if we're feeling kind of heavy or lethargic, or we're having a lack of confidence, we're not motivated, then that's kapha talking to us, right? It's in excess. And I was feeling like this earlier in the week. My husband had been out of town. He actually took my daughter down to Las Vegas. They went to a Metallica concert. Not my jam. I am much more into calm, peaceful music, but they went and spent some time together for her 20th birthday. Cannot believe I have a daughter who's 20. It's kind of blowing me away. But they went down there, and so I had some time alone. And I think that just all of the excess movement and the excess just work that we've been up to lately, we've just been busy with a lot of projects, kind of caught up with me. And by the time he got home, I was feeling excessive kapha like crazy. And he is a very smart man. He knows to let me have my space a little bit when I'm trying to work through emotions or when a dosha is really aggravated. So it took me about probably 40 hours, almost two full days, to kind of work through this and to create some calm space where I could find some more invigoration and get my passion for life back. But I understand fully when someone's having excess kapha, it's really hard to get motivated to do anything, right? But when we're listening to ourselves, we're kind of becoming aware, listening to our bodies and our emotions and seeing that excess kapha rise up, then we can take actions, right? And right now is the best time to do that. So when we look at the qualities that we want more of in our life that tie in with kapha dosha, things like being resilient, having strong immunity, having endurance to continue on, being strong physically and emotionally, being patient, being generous. These are all things that can come more into our lives during the spring season. So if we look at this as a time instead of, oh no, kapha is here, that heaviness is coming upon us, instead we can look at the positive aspects of kapha and then really work to cultivate those. So when we look at what I mentioned before with my daughter and her desire to move her body, that has had a huge impact on her decreasing kapha dosha and increasing the positive aspects of her kapha nature. In the spring, it's important that we move. We have got to move our bodies. We need to flow. We need to energize. And that heaviness of excess of kapha needs to be managed through movement. Now, when we're engaging and we're moving, we find that strength. We find that resiliency. Kaphas tend to be really good at things like weightlifting, right? Because they have that natural inborn strength. And if we're doing a daily movement practice, something that's a more kapha balancing exercise, something that has a little bit of cardio. So we want to get the heart moving. We want to get the lungs moving. And because kapha is one of the sturdiest doshas, we really want to look at having exercise that is fun, right? And that might be different things to different people, but sometimes you might want to have more of an adventure, go for like a really nice hike. You might want to do something socially with people, go for a bike ride. You might want to do something through like a Zoom call with other people. You need variation. Kaphas do not enjoy something being the same. So this time of year is a really good time to add in a little variety. So have a few surprises going on. I have a few online health instructors that I really like to follow that teach a variety of exercises. And I really like that because I don't always know what I'm going to get. And this time of year, especially, it's really good to have a little bit of that variety in there. Finding things that require a little bit of endurance. That doesn't mean that you need to go run a marathon, but if that's your goal, you'll see that a lot of people who run marathons successfully have a lot of kapha in their dosha. But you want to honor basically where you're at right now and then challenge yourself a little bit. Always kind of push just a little bit with kapha because we want them to grow and to experience how they can move through hard things. Kaphas love comfort. So if we're staying on a comfort zone, we're not going to push and find the benefits there. Having an accountability buddy is really, really useful for kaphas with exercise. So doing it with someone, having someone who asks you about how your exercise went, checking in, maybe having a coach or a partner is really, really great. And then seeing exercise as a celebration of what your body can do. It's really, really beautiful to do that. And when we get into actual yoga practices, it's nice to have a lot of kapha balancing yoga. That can be more vigorous sun salutations. It can be things that require more movement where we're not holding a pose quite as long, right? Because we're trying to create more lightness for kapha dosha. And so if you look in online, you can usually find some really good spring yoga practices. And the hallmark of a good spring yoga practice is there's a lot of heart openers. We're allowing kapha from the heart area to release, and we have a lot of good movement. Maybe not too much jumping because kaphas don't tend to love to jump, but there is a little more lightness to the practice, right? It's not quite so heavy and grounding and intense. Okay, so that's our first thing, is moving your body every single day. Really, really good idea. Another thing I love is dry brushing. Now, dry brushing is a totally underlooked practice that oftentimes people are not using that could be very helpful for increasing that movement of kapha, especially if kapha is feeling stagnant. So when we do this, it stimulates kapha. It helps to increase energy, circulation. It brings heat to your body. It's really great to remove dry skin. It's great for any fat pockets that you might have in the body, any cellulite that you're working on smoothing up. So from an aesthetic point of view, a lot of women enjoy it for that. And it's really great after this long dry winter to help exfoliate, like I mentioned. So when kapha gets stagnant, when it's kind of stuck in our body and not moving around, you start feeling cold. So your body will feel cold, your mind will feel cloudy, and your emotions will feel heavy. So cold, cloudy, and heavy. So when we dry brush, it helps to give us the opposite of those gunas or qualities. So when we do this, you can use silk brushes or silk gloves, like a raw silk glove, or a natural bristle brush. So if you are high in your kapha dosha, go with the natural bristle brush because you need something a little more vigorous. If you have more pitta or vata, then you can go with the raw silk glove. And these are things you can just find even on Amazon. So you don't need to go anywhere fancy for those. And when you dry brush, you're going to begin at the bottom of the body, so at the feet, and then you're going to move up towards the heart. You'll move on your arms towards your heart, and you're doing small circular strokes on the joints, longer strokes on the long parts of the body. And then on the abdomen, go clockwise. That's just helping to support digestion. Now, you don't need to do this in such a way that your body is red afterwards. I know I've had some clients that get really into this and they're so excited by it and they are brushing so hard that they're actually causing small injuries to the capillaries of the skin. Not the goal, my friends. We just want to invigorate the lymphatic flow, stimulate detoxification, and then exfoliate dead skin. It actually makes you feel really good too. It kind of wakes you up a little tingly. So it's best to do it in the morning before you practice Abhyanga. So you can still do Abhyanga in the spring, still good to do that self-massage, but if you're going to dry brush, do it prior. Now, what if you have a lot of Vata dosha? If you are very aggravated in Vata and super scattered mentally and suffering from insomnia and all of the Vata symptoms, you really want to do more of a gentle dry brush with the dry silk gloves and only a couple times a week. But the more kapha elevated that you are, the more frequently, the more vigorously, and then using that the actual brush instead of the dry silk gloves, okay? And it's always good to do this on an empty stomach as well. Now, the next thing that can be really helpful to take advantage of all these awesome kapha things is to get more warming spices in your foods. Because if you think what we talked about before, we have the ice or the snow, right? And it's starting to melt. We want to help to melt off all of that sludge, that stickiness in our body. And when we have warming spices, it increases circulation, increases the body's digestive system and the flow, and it will really help to increase warmth. Kapha is inherently cold. Right? They're not the coldest dosha, that would be Vata, but kapha is definitely on the cold side. So when we add in things like heated yoga, so do yoga in a warmer space, you can sit in a dry sauna, really, really good for kapha dosha. Add in more spicy foods, add in your ginger teas, and then focusing on a kapha balancing diet. Now when we're doing a kapha balancing diet, we're focusing on the tastes of bitter, astringent, and pungent. Okay. And then we're also making sure that our food is a little bit light, that it's warmed, and that it's well spiced. So we have a lot of good heating spices in there to help break up that excess. If you think of like mucus, if you can break it up with hot spices, that's going to help you to clear it from your body. So if you tend towards allergies or sinus issues in the springtime, getting some of those heating mucuses in there will help. Okay. And some other really yummy spices you can add in are things like turmeric, ginger, pipali, which is also called long pepper, cumin, or cinnamon. So those are good things to just have in all of your meals. And I actually, on my website, if you haven't gone in and signed up for the newsletter, I recommend you do that because you'll get a seasonal spice blend, and that will help you to determine what, or not determine, but it will help you to make a spice blend that is just perfect for the springtime, that will help you to invigorate the body and help digestion a little bit more too. Okay, so in the springtime, we see a lot more light foods coming available, right? We have a lot more vegetables and greens, and all of these things can help because they're a little bit lighter. And we do want to make sure, if digestion's ever an issue, that we're lightly steaming them, that we're not eating them all raw because we want them warm. But those lighter vegetables can be a really, really good thing for us as well. And then taking care of yourself. Kapha is all about comfort, right? Kapha is about taking care of yourself, having compassion, not just for others, but inwardly. And so kaphas, if they're focused too much on outward service, they tend to neglect themselves, right? They kind of are martyrs or sacrifice too much. So we want to make sure this is the time of year that we focus a little more inward energy. And so when we're attuned to that, we're taking better care of different parts of ourselves, not just physically, but emotionally. So giving your body daily attention, right? Through things that we talked about, like movement, through dry brushing, through Abhyanga, eating good foods that help. Also making sure that you are engaging with other people, that you're creating community, that your sleep is good. Get to sleep early, right? We're talking 10 p.m. and then wake early. We don't want to wake during kapha time, especially during kapha season. So make sure that you're getting to bed at a time that allows you to wake up prior to 6 a.m. And it's going to start getting lighter depending on where you live in the world. So that will be helpful as well. Do more activating yoga practice. Get in some cardio every day. We want your heart rate to elevate. Maybe taking a really brisk walk in the morning can be useful, especially as it kind of wakens up the senses. We talked about dry brushing, about eating more of those lighter vegetables that are cooked, and then you can add in some hot ginger tea. That would be a great thing to have as like an afternoon ritual, having that in, and then staying with your warm kapha balancing diet. So something else that I think is really important this time of year as well, and this is so traditionally Ayurvedic, is to focus on cleansing the body. Cleansing the body is a practice that is done in the spring and again in the fall in Ayurveda. And it's at those seasonal junctures. The cycles of the seasons are very strongly connected and associated with the doshas. And so when we look at the winter season, we have this buildup and accumulation of kapha dosha, which can lead to this stagnation and to blocked channels. We all know that blocked channels are not a good thing in health, right? It's toxins, it's ama, it's this buildup of excess that needs to be released. And there needs to be a more methodical process to releasing it than what maybe we expect. We can't just say, I'm going to shift my diet now and eat healthy, and it's going to naturally let go of all the toxins, because toxicity is actually stored in the fat cells of the body. And so we have to allow those to release, plus we have to allow those to be eliminated from our body. Because if you just release them into circulation from your fat cells, they're just going to get reabsorbed somewhere else in your body. So there's a methodical process that we go through with an Ayurvedic cleanse to allow you to simply, easily, and naturally release toxins from the body. And we do this through a series of pre-cleanse preparations, through an active cleanse where we're doing a lot of khichdi and really simple diet, focusing on self-care and practices. And then we have a follow-up post-cleanse where we're easing back into eating foods that maybe are more traditional for us, but staying away from foods that are going to cause this buildup again of excess ama. And as we go through this process, it's so important that we do it together, because cleansing is challenging. It's not hard, but it's challenging. It's very simple in the practices that we do. And at first, it can feel a little complicated to get used to all of the different teas that we drink and some of the herbs that we take. And none of them are things that are weird or hard to find, but they're just maybe things that you haven't been eating quite as often. But as we make this shift and we do it together as a group, we are supported and helped together. And I have a lot of members who come back every year for the cleanse. This year, we're adding in some new support techniques that are really going to help through daily accountability Zoom calls or daily support calls. We're also going to have a lot more live interaction options where you can come on to live yoga calls or live yoga classes. You can come into the Q&As and to these accountability calls. And we're having a lot more recipes that we can try so that you can keep things a little bit more fresh. So it's going to be a really fun experience. I love this every year. I really look forward to it. But our cleanse this year will begin on March 25th with a kickoff call. And this will be an opportunity for us to learn a lot about spring. You've learned a lot just in this episode, but we'll learn a lot more about the springtime, about kapha dosha, and then we'll have the active cleanse beginning on April 1st. So I felt like it was an appropriate time, right? It's like the beginning of spring, right at that time of year when we're moving from that cold of winter to the warm moisture of springtime. So we want to make sure we catch all this before kapha gets aggravated, right? It's accumulating. We want to let it release. So I would love to see you there. You can learn more about the cleanse at ayurvedalifeschool.com/seasonal cleanse. And it would be beautiful to have you in that group. And as always, Ayurveda is something that helps us to grow, evolve, and become our highest, best self. It does not mean we have to do it perfectly. There is no such thing as living Ayurveda 100%, because Ayurveda is the science of life, and life is all about change and about mistakes and coming back and about changing your course and coming back and about making different decisions and coming back and this coming back to ourselves over and over again. So for me, Ayurveda is kind of an anchor. It's a place that I know I can come to when I need to reconnect with who I am, when I need to reconnect with divinity, and when I need to kind of find my center again. So if you've found that over the last year and all the turmoil in life that you've kind of drifted a little bit from some of your practices, or you've kind of found other paths and now you're not feeling as good and you're wanting to reinvigorate or reignite your passion for Ayurveda, I invite you to just start. Start somewhere. Start with a meditation. Start with drinking some ginger tea. Start with sitting quietly while you eat. Start by joining the seasonal cleanse. But it's never not a good opportunity to come back. It's always a good opportunity to reintroduce yourself to Ayurveda all over again with a beginner's mind. So have a beautiful, beautiful week. If you have not ordered your free starter kit, you can do so at ayurvedalifeschool.com/free starter kit. And if you have not joined the 28-day immersion, always a good time to restart our habits. So you can learn more at ayurvedalifeschool.com. And I hope to see you in one of the programs coming up, hopefully in the cleanse. And if there's anything else I can do to support you, please let me know. Have a beautiful week. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it.
You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.